Guaranteed.com.
Three gold medals, baby, for the USA. Snowboarding, downhill, and speed skating. We're going to go to Vancouver coming up in another half hour to talk to the head doc for the U.S. snowboarding team, Dr. Tom Hackett. He's probably beside himself, one, because there weren't any injuries, although I cannot believe the stunts that some of the men are able to do when they're on those snowboards. Sean White is incredible. He is like a flying pretzel more than a flying tomato. He defended his Olympic title. It was absolutely stunning what he did. So we'll talk to the doc about Sean White, that run, and some of the other guys and gals on the snowboarding team and injuries. He's right there watching the whole thing, probably with super bated breath. Right from the get-go, though, hello, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We jump into this big story. We've been talking about this a lot. I got many emails from all of you, many of you listening anyway, on the Haiti missionaries. So eight of the Haiti 10, as they've been called, now released, actually just a few hours ago, flying back to the United States. A lot of the details are sketchy because they don't want reporters to have a lot of access initially. Certainly when they hit American soil, they will. But the fact that eight are out after 3 weeks after being charged with child kidnapping and trying to take those kids across the border into the Dominican Republic, you can only imagine how excited they must be. The description of what they look like, what do you think you would look like? No showers, bed raggled, sweat pouring down your head, but they had to be grinning from ear to ear. The diplomats didn't waste any time once the judge made the decision, swished down in there, got them out. They were in a white van and giving their thumbs up to the crowd outside, but didn't talk to anyone. Like I said, they were whisked away on a C-130, a cargo plane, one of those big planes, and they're on their way to Miami. In fact, they may have already just touched down in Miami, and they'll be scrambling for, you know, flights to get back home. And this has been a wild, wild time as to whether or not, you know, the questions that were abounding, child traffickers, and were they kidnapping those kids, and what ultimately did they really, really have permission? And there were a lot of questions surrounding this. And then the questions about what were they thinking, and do they really believe that without the proper paperwork they were going to be able to get through that border crossing into the Dominican Republic. So I can't wait to hear what many of them have to say. Now, a couple were left behind, including the group leader, a woman named Laura Silsby, who said that when she talked to reporters when it first happened, said that they were taking only orphan and abandoned kids. But then it turned out, remember we said the story where the parents gave the kids over to the group, but it was the parents who said, take our kids and you can give them a better life. So I think that lying thing, that exaggerating thing, got a couple of them in trouble, and that's why only eight of the 10 were actually let go. So who knows what happens with her. There's still an attorney there and fighting to see if they can get the charges dropped or not. But at least eight of them are back in the United States. So this has been a huge, huge ordeal. Most of you, many of you wrote and said, hey, look, they should have known. Give me a break. That you can just take these kids and say, okay, you're going to give me your kids, great, and we're just going to take them away. But that was the majority of the emails. But several of you emailed and said, that's ridiculous. They're missionaries. How can we not go in and help them? How can they, with everything the United States is doing to help the people of Haiti, if it is a misunderstanding, why wouldn't they release them? So there still are questions about two of the 10, and really the ringleaders, especially the one, not released, and no word as to whether or not there's even the possibility of that happening in the very near future. But that's huge, huge, huge news. Also, a lot of questions swirling continuously about Amy Bishop. Do you know the name Amy Bishop at this point? Okay, if you don't know who she is the woman who opened fire at a faculty meeting. The motive, supposedly, that she wasn't getting tenure. And this is the University of Alabama in Huntsville. It happened last week. Three people killed, three others injured, and then other people just completely shocked by what was happening right in front of their faces. Now, more stories are emerging about Bishop and some of the nutty things that she's done in the past. I mean, beyond nutty, things traced to a pipe bomb, things traced to the killing of her brother, and the fact that investigators kind of dropped the ball on that, on looking into what caused that gun accident, and then a few other things, altercations with neighbors. She was even charged at one point with assault and battery after she went crazy at the IHOP on somebody because she was arguing over a booster seat, the last booster seat. She was in a wicked tug of war and screamed out and just, you know, leveled somebody with her fists. So there were things in this woman's background that were shaky. She was Harvard educated and a scientist who was on the cutting edge of many breakthroughs, but she obviously had a checkered past that did not come up on the radar of these people at this university, which still boggles the mind because there were records. There were police records. They weren't all expunged. The assault thing was there. The thing with the brother was there that was shaky, even though they chalked it up to an accident. And then there were a couple of other things, including the pipe bomb deal. That was absolutely on record. So was it a university anxious to get money or a name into their academic department? But then ultimately she didn't get her tenure. So the professors in the department who made the decision not to grant her tenure, you know, and that's that job security that people in that field crave. The votes of the committee weren't made public, but somehow she assumed or figured out those that would have voted her down, and that's where she pointed her gun. But I think the big story here really is how does this university miss so many red flags? I mean, I understand it if there was absolutely nothing in her background, no criminal record whatsoever. Think of when any of you listening have gone out for jobs and you've applied for jobs. You know the questions you get asked. Have you ever been convicted of a felony? Well, no, she hadn't been convicted of a felony. But, boy, especially when it comes to academics, they really, really claw through your background. And I think some of that would have come up on the radar. I just don't understand how that didn't happen. And we have a silver lining for somebody when it comes to the courts. This is a great story. A North Carolina man who said he was innocent of murder for 16 years, locked up like an animal behind bars. They let him go on Wednesday, and a huge exoneration. And the guy's name is Greg Taylor. He, you know, he saw the pictures of the relatives, the daughter, so many people that he hadn't had very much contact with in a very long time. So they decided he wasn't guilty of murdering a prostitute in 1991 because they got new information that overturned the evidence. So he was found not guilty of the beating death of this prostitute. Man, all because somebody reopened the case after 16 years. That's crazy. Coming up next, we're talking finance.
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Healthy Hearts Club presents Heart and Body Extract. Supports clean, clear arteries, healthy blood pressure levels, healthy circulation and blood flow, regular heart rate and beat. What if you could avoid heart attacks? What if you could avoid emergency room visits? What if you could avoid surgery? How? With this Heart and Body Extract. 100% organic, no negative side effects. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now, 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Or order online at heartandbody.com. Take the high road to a long and healthy life. 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com.
Talking about the markets, of course, a lot here on America Tonight in our various business segments. I know a lot of you are concerned about what do I do with my money. Who better to have on the show than someone knows all about money matters? Tim Edwards from Prospera Financial joins us here on ATN. Tim, thanks for popping on the show. We appreciate the time, man.
You bet, Kate. Thanks for having me.
First of all, and this might sound sarcastic, but somebody said this to me today. What's the deal? Do we need a Ouija board to figure out what's going on in the market? I mean, is the market now, today was a pretty decent day. Is the market in a correction, or what's happening with the markets?
Well, you know, I guess it depends on what time of day you ask and who you're talking to. But, yes, there's been a lot of volatility in the market, and with a lot of things going on globally now, You really need to have a diversified portfolio, and you definitely need to have some risk management capabilities in your portfolio. But to really decide whether the market's going higher from here, you know, I do think that the economy is recovering, and with the economy recovering, probably not going to be a V-shaped as some expect, but maybe a U-shaped recovery. And in that type of environment, I think you're going to see the markets trade a little higher this year, but it's still going to be choppy.
Yeah, you know, you talk about risk management. Now, there's some people, it sounds like gibberish to them, Tim, and so they're driving around in Connecticut and in Kentucky, and they're listening to you and I, and they said something about risk management. Explain what you mean by risk management in a portfolio.
Well, first of all, you need to make sure that the investments that you're investing in are suitable for your portfolio. And what I mean by that is If you don't really need to have, say, like a 10% return on your portfolio to reach the goals that you want to reach, why take that risk? Why not have a portfolio that will help meet your needs? Maybe it's something that you're trying to return or get a return of 5%. Why take the additional risk? And I think it starts with there. There's a lot of people go out and say, I want to make as much money as I possibly can with as little amount of risk as possible. But, in reality, that doesn't happen. So I think it starts with that. First of all, knowing what you want your money to do, what the goals are for your money, and then implementing some risk management best practices into your portfolio.
What about for people who, it used to be some companies offer a 401k, some don't. It used to be pensions now. I mean, it's far and few between. So when you're talking about portfolios and all this, that sort of stuff, how do you determine what you need? This sounds like such a layup question, but how do you determine what you need for retirement? I'm going to give you an example. I talked to a couple the other day, and they're in their 70s, early 70s, like 71. But he had made some decent money, and he retired when he was 50. And he said, wow, I've got $500,000. And he said, you know what? That lasted us about 2.5 years. And then I realized I got to go back to work. How do you figure out what that target number is?
Well, I think really it's as simple as sitting down with a financial advisor and discussing, what are your needs going to be when you're retired? And, there's a rule of thumb that a lot of people use that you'd spend about 80% of the income or need about 80% of the income that you currently have in retirement. But actually, I think that's a little bit of a fallacy, because when you're retired, you have idle hands. There's things that you're not working, you're not keeping busy. So a lot of people spend more money during that time, or they may be taking more vacations or what have you. But, it's really just sitting down with an advisor and laying out the game plan. What are your needs going to be? And then work backwards from there to determine the type of return that you need to sustain that lifestyle.
Yeah, great advice. I think you're right. People forget. It's different when you're on a fixed income, and then all of a sudden you're going out to dinner maybe a little bit more, you're spending more on vacations, and that's exactly what happened with this couple that I talked to. They started to travel around. They had gotten an RV, and they realized they were really blowing through money, and then decided, well, guess what? This isn't going to work. I'm going to have to go back to work. Hey, I got to ask you about Greece. Greece is begging for more time at those Eurozone debt talks. So for everybody listening, because a lot of people don't understand that either, the whole Greece deal, what do you think the effect is going to be of Greece defaulting on its loans, if that's what's going to happen?
Well, you're going to see the European Union step in. They've already said that they're going to step in and assure that default doesn't necessarily happen. But there's other dominoes to fall. If you you start looking at, potentially Spain, Italy, Ireland, and even Portugal, the level of debt that those countries have is very worrisome and troublesome.
Yeah, no kidding. Every time I read those headlines, that's exactly what I think. Ooh, this is, where is this going? Speaking of where something is going, Tim, the housing sector, is it going to stabilize, do you think, at the end of the after the end of the Obama tax breaks, which I believe is in June? Do you think we'll see some stability there? It's going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think we're already seeing that. I think there was some data that came out today that new housing starts increased again over last month. So those are all positive signs, and I think the worst of that issue is behind us, and things are improving.
Well, that's good news. How about gold? Somebody advised me a couple of years ago, and luckily I was able to do a little bit of this because gold was way down then. Do you see gold bottoming out, or do you see there's still going to be a demand? I mean, who knows? It could go as I originally said this, and I'm an amateur, but just in talking to all the people I had about gold supplies, that it wouldn't be shocking to see maybe 2,000. you know, to see it go to 2,000. But I certainly could be wrong on that. Do you think gold will even out, or what do you bottom out, or what do you think is going to happen there?
Well, 2,000, I guess that's a possibility. But I think reality is, if you look at where gold has come in the last decade, I mean, gold has quadrupled. And there is a lot of speculation in gold. That's a safe haven of sorts. When, you know, the economic crisis of last year where it was in a fury, that's a safe haven. And I think there's a lot of speculation in gold. It's also, you know, considered a hedge against inflation. So I guess the real question would be, where do you think interest rates and where do you think inflation is going to be? Because gold doesn't like a rising interest rate market. So if inflation rears its ugly head, the Fed is going to have to fend against that, and the way to do that is by raising interest rates. Now, I don't think that's going to happen in the short term, but intermediate to longer term, inflation is on the horizon, and I think you're going to see interest rates rise. And we may not see it in 2010, but come 2011, I think it's a definite possibility. So to answer your question about gold, you know, do you want to be in gold, you know, come 2011 or when we see interest rates rise? I think you'll see a pullback in gold when that happens.
All right, so watch for that, certainly. Well, some great advice. We appreciate the time, Tim. Will you join us again on the show and give us some of the lowdown on what we see happening on the horizon?
Definitely. You give me a call and I'll join you any evening.
Awesome. Tim Edwards from Prospera Financial, we thank you, and we'll be back with much more here on America Tonight. And, yes, the price of gold, I wanted to throw this in too, has increased by 20% over the past 2 years. Spot gold traded at about $1,108 an ounce on Wednesday, and this is just after peaking. Boy, that peak was so big. Remember that the point was 1,126, and so many people that were able to get on the gold bandwagon early on were just dancing in the streets and still are. I truly believe, as I said to him, that I think you'll see that 2,000 mark. I mean, even the IMF announced last year it's going to have to sell a total of 403.3 metric tons of gold. That's about one-eighth of its total stock to diversify its sources of income and increase the low-cost lending to some of the poor countries, not to disrupt the gold market. Hang with us, Olympics.
Is garlic the absolute best defense against the threat of bacterial and viral pandemics? No. The answer is Ali-C from your AliStore.com. Ali-C was developed by a British chemist who found a way to stabilize the allicin in garlic and incorporate it into his flagship product, Ali-C. It's the strongest and safest antibiotic known to man. Ali-C makes garlic supplements obsolete. Get Ali-C today from your AliStore.com. That's your A-L-L-I-Store.com. Your AliStore.com. No home should be without Ali-C.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
For safety, you lock doors, set alarms, buy antivirus software, maybe even have a watchdog. Do you care as much about your air and water? Lock out harmful poisons from entering your body with airandaqua.com. Using purification devices from airandaqua.com allows you to enjoy safety and security with every breath you make and every sip you take. For free shipping on purchases, discounts, and newsletters, visit airandaqua.com or call 866-380-2782. Shop airandaqua.com and purify your life.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Is your computer running slowly? Thinking about buying a new one? Don't waste your money. Your computer could be infected with spyware, malware, viruses, registry errors, spam, and pop-ups. You don't need to buy a new computer. Just go to DoubleMySpeed.com and find out what's slowing your computer down.
Double My Speed totally cleaned up my system and increased my speed.
DoubleMySpeed.com increased the speed of my computer from the very first day.
My computer was on its last leg. Now it's like new again.
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com and keep your computer running fast. Your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com is easy and fast.
It's the best you could ask for. Outstanding, and my computer is running faster than ever.
Find out what is slowing down your computer with a free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com. Don't waste your time with your slow computer. Get your free diagnosis now at DoubleMySpeed.com. That's DoubleMySpeed.com.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Vaughn in the downhill for the women, the Americans. It's a first. It was huge. Tears of joy erupted from her eyes. Sean Flying Tomato White. Amazing, this cat. When he's doing the snowboarding thing, the half pipe master. Once again, he is golden. And Shawnee Davis hit a gold note speed skating wise. All totaled, USA has 14 medals. I said they'd probably hit 30. 10 of them would be gold. I might have shot too low. My expectations might have been just a little bit lame. We may end up with 40. Who knows? 45 at the rate they're going. There are 86 events in the Olympics, and we've just scratched the surface here. Also in We Can Count, a new study says states have to fill a huge pension gap to the tune of, oh, this is a big, ugly number, much more than 12, $1 trillion funding shortfall in the public sector when it comes to retirement benefits. So a lot of states are going to be forced to reduce benefits, raise taxes, slash government services, because they got to figure out a way to deal with this. It was all part of a Pew Center on the United States survey released that shows that state-administered pension plans are in trouble. Retiree health care and other post-employment benefits in 50 states that pretty much blame a decade's worth of policy decisions for leaving them shortchanged. You got to pay the piper. Somebody has to pay. Who's going to pay? As of 2008, states had $2.4 trillion to meet $3.4 trillion in promised pension plans. Oh, the numbers are just so depressing. I don't even want to go through this whole thing. It's just nasty. Pew calculated a $587 billion national cost for the current and future retiree health care and other non-pension retirement benefits. You know, that's with only about 5% of that amount funded as of 2008. Once again, we go back to that magical year. On a lighter note, but a kooky note, how about this? A South Korean stole 1,200 pairs of expensive shoes from funeral homes while posing as a mourner. That person was arrested in Seoul. The man, identified only as Park, took off on his own shoes before entering the mourning rooms, as they call them, and donned some more expensive footwear when he left. He was going to sell them through his own secondhand shoe business, and the police were able to bust him. They said they caught him stealing three pairs of shoes worth a total of $1,750. So that's what he was doing, going to these funeral homes. They raided his warehouse. They found all those shoes, and they were all stored according to size, and he was getting ready for his whole resale thing. I wonder how much time he's going to do for that. You know, I'll tell you, Donovan, you think of that, you think of what it takes to go to these funerals and steal the shoes. I just don't understand how nobody spotted them before it. I guess they don't have cameras and a lot of people weren't watching out for that, because I'd say he's pretty elusive if he was able to slip in and get that many shoes.
Well, I guess most people don't go to funerals to keep an eye on the shoes.
Hey, did you notice Gramps wasn't wearing any shoes? Why was he just stocking feet? Couldn't we have ponied up for some shoes, or didn't he have any in his closet? Yeah, you could be right. Nobody's paying attention to that. Everybody's upset, and then the director of whatever the funeral place was is on to something else, and they're not watching over the situation. There must be a moment or a few moments when you're able to get in there and to figure, when he was able to get in there and figure out how to do it. Just the amount of shoes, though, I think is absolutely incredible and worthy of a We Can Count moment on this show. We can count the interviews that Tiger Woods has given to the media since he was caught with, I don't know how many women. Well, he wasn't really caught with them, but they all started talking about the affairs they were having with him. I think the highest total I saw was a crazy number, like 14. So here's the scoop. Tiger is going to hold a press conference at PGA headquarters. He's going to do it on Friday at 10 in the morning. His agent clarified that once that came out that he's having this press conference, they want to make sure everybody knew. No, it's not a press conference. See, this is so typical of Woods' camp. He is just going to speak about his past and what he plans next, along with apologizing for his behavior. This is all about the next step, according to his agent. He's looking forward to it. And there are no questions. No questions. So here's the deal. Three wire services are invited to this. So it really isn't a press conference. And the Golf Writers Association of America can have a small group of reporters to serve as a pool. There's going to be one pool camera, and it's going to be available by satellite. So he's punking out. Now, here is what his agent should have done in the first place. When all this nonsense happened, it's like somebody said to me, and I think they were dead on right about this, who cares? I mean, it is funny. It makes for funny punchline conversation, but he's a golfer, so whatever. He should have just come forward right away and just said, listen, I'm sorry for my family and what I'm putting them through, and I hope I can rectify the situation with my wife and my children I love to death, and that's the most important thing to me. And my behavior is none of your business. And I don't know that he would put it that way, but I'm sorry for what I did, and it's my business. I'm a golfer, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't do that, so now it's the typical control thing, and this is part of the problem with Tiger Woods, and this is that whole camp around him circling the wagons, which they should circle the wagons, but he was always so much above it and always away from everything, and I think that's part of the deal. Maybe not the golfers themselves, but certainly the rest of the people when he was out on tour, like choose and pick and all that stuff. So anyway, This comes right during the Accenture match play in Arizona. There was a rumor that he was going to come back and play in that. And I'm sure that everybody's going to be talking about this. They're going to release a statement. It'll be on every show from, you know, the entertainment shows to the sports shows to whatever. So it'll take some time away from that big event. Accenture, if you remember, was the first sponsor to drop Woods when he became, embroiled in this controversy, the sex scandal, on Thanksgiving weekend. It was the day after Thanksgiving when everything broke. So he's not going to say much, I don't think, other than, you know, hey, exactly what his agent said. I'm sure apologizing a mea culpa or two, and what he's going to do as far as playing golf. Now, I bet he's going to jump out somewhere, because there was one picture finally that was floated of Tiger, and he was jogging. So he's got to be trying to get in shape somewhere, somehow, with some people, trainers, whatever. And that means to me that he's going to jump into at least a few tournaments. And I always thought if he played before the Masters and played the Masters, then that's it. And that's probably what's going to happen here. We have some breaking news, and I'll jump to that. From Afghanistan, they're saying two more top Afghanistan Taliban figures have been arrested in Pakistan. That's the good news. More time for torture and to see what information they can get out of these guys. But boy, they must have just hit the mother lode. They must have found the hornet's nest when they first were able to pick down the second in command. Now they got two more, or he's leading them to people. You might draw that conclusion, but this is a good thing. Maybe there is a way to pick apart the Taliban, and between the Pakistanis and our intelligence guys, they found a way to do it. So here's what I think. You don't mess with the USA. When the CIA thing happened and all those guys got blown apart, which was awful, because they trusted somebody who assimilated, let's face it, with information and everything else that he was loaded with, ultimately it took down too many CIA people of importance who were trying to do whatever they could in Afghanistan and as part of that mission. So I think once that happened, that was it. The gloves were off, and now we're starting to see the results of that. And to me, I mean, amen. This is great stuff. Do we have a round of applause from the people in Minnesota? Hey, it's good. This is what we're there for, right? To take down the Taliban. If we're there, we're there to do something. And politics aside, I think everybody agrees on this one. I don't think anyone's going to disagree with this. That was the whole idea, was to be able to do that. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, we're going to lighten the load a little bit more. I'm going to start doing this thing where we investigate. It's kind of like when we do the headers and find out about what's going on across the nation in some of the smaller places, not just necessarily the big suburban areas or the big cities, but what are some of the top small towns doing to thrive and survive in this economy? And McKinney, Texas, is a place that was named to one of the top 15 cities to live in, one of the great places in the country where you could economically do well, and the city had a lot to offer with festivals and a downtown. So we're going to talk about downtown McKinney. Coming up on the roster, Raleigh-Durham makes the list. Louisville makes the list, too. And also a city in Florida. I bet you can't guess which one. I'll give you a hint. It's not Miami. It's not Tampa. It's somewhere in between. But that's all coming up around the bend here on ATN.
Why is drinking pure high alkaline pH water the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Because alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using AlkaVision pH Drops is the best way to make your water alkaline, to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to an alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
So you've been on endless blind dates, or you're suddenly single again, or your relationship feels like a minefield. I'm Gloria McDonald, host of Secrets of Dating and Relationship Success on WebTalkRadio.net, and I've helped hundreds of people find and grow successful, loving relationships, and I can help you. Secrets of Dating and Relationship Success on WebTalkRadio.net will get you from slump to relationship success.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700.
Papa's got a brand new bag. Come here, mama. And take it to see.
We talk about big cities and small towns and where people hook up and where communities are going. And it was back in August, Money Magazine, McKinney was ranked in the top 15 small cities to live in the country. It's coincidental that I live a stone's throw away from McKinney, a town that I was drawn to maybe even a decade ago before I had moved back to New York and then came back to Texas. And it is just the most quaint, I think, town that I, one of the most quaint towns I've ever been in. I compare it to a little town that I went to once in California, just a beautiful, beautiful place, and the two have certain similarities, kind of an Old West feel, antique feel, you know, that kind of sort of thing. But I'm not great at descriptions, so that's why we're going to have someone on from McKinney. Linda Day from downtown McKinney joins us. Linda, thanks for hanging with us here on America Tonight.
Oh, well, I'm happy to be with you.
Did I describe that right? Because Jesse James, somebody told me the story that Jesse James and his gang used to roll through kind of that square, or those streets of McKinney, and I'm fascinated by it, Westerns, and to me that just really stuck with me. Is that what they used to do? They used to hang out in McKinney?
Yes, actually, they came to McKinney quite often because they were outlaws in other states, but not here in Texas. So they came to McKinney. I think they had some relatives close by, and that was one of the reasons that they came here.
Yeah. Well, since the days of Jesse James, McKinney is such a different place now, I would say, but it does have that quaint downtown feel. And from what I understand, and just like Money Magazine voting a great place to live, because you're still close to Dallas, so you can still get to the airport and go to see some of the sporting events or whatever it is, but yet you still are out a little bit of a distance. And a lot of people listening to us like that kind of lifestyle. So we've talked to other people in other cities that are trying to do the same thing and get more people to come to their downtowns. And you've worked with downtown McKinney now for a while. What are the things that attract people to a place like McKinney? How do you get your downtown to thrive like that?
Well, we have a lot of nighttime entertainment. We have some great restaurants. My husband built the Grand Hotel, which is right here on the square. So you can spend an entire weekend down here, never have to get in the car. You can walk everywhere. It's a lot like, in a way, like Manhattan. And it's just a lot of very friendly people. Everybody seems to enjoy themselves when they come down here. We have about 80 privately owned stores. And so you don't get, that same feel like you do when you go to a mall. You get something that's totally different. And all of our restaurants are privately owned. We have Rick's Chop House, which has a ballroom attached to it. So there's a lot of weddings and a lot of private parties, and it's just a lot of fun down here.
Yeah, somebody told me that you actually have a candy store, and I think people listening can relate to this because all different ages. We have people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, on up. That the candy store is so cool that they scour the earth to find every kind of candy from your childhood. Is that right?
They have every kind of candy that you've ever seen in your life. And in some ways, you don't like to go in there because you're always tempted to buy lots and lots of different things. But they also have, I think they have 43 different flavors of popcorn also, which they make right there every day. And they have fudge, and they have, I don't even know what kind of candies I could describe to you that you would remember from your childhood. But they have, I mean, big barrels. It's really very neatly made.
Those candy cigarettes. You remember candy cigarettes?
They have them.
And then there was those things we used to take, because I grew up in New Jersey, and we'd go to the boardwalk, and they had the, it was wax, and you bit, it sounds so weird, but you bit the top of it off to drink what was inside the little bottles.
They have that. They have Mary Jane's. Did you ever eat Mary Jane's?
Yeah, my great-grandmother had Mary Jane's. Every time you went in the house, you'd try to sneak some. Absolutely. That's funny. Wow. So I have to check that out. Of course, I'm going to have to just go with a little tiny bag and go back again, because like you said, it could be dangerous to sabotage any kind of weight loss deal that you might have going on. You know,
you can go in there any day of the week, and most of the people, there's just so many people in there all the time because it's fascinating, because it reminds them of their childhood. And a lot of people will tell us that about the square in downtown, that it reminds them of their grandmother's town, or it reminds them of their childhood, or it reminds them of being up north somewhere. So we have a different feel, and a lot of places try to replicate it, but you really can't, because our town was started in 1848, and a lot of the buildings are really, really old here. There's a lot of history. There's a lot of ghost stories. There's just a whole lot of, old family heritages here. It's a neat place.
And so when you look at McKinney getting this national attention, it's great in so many ways, because you have people that come down for the day, or people now that can stay overnight, as you mentioned, the hotel. But it also, in another way, it's scary, because you don't want too many people, Linda, to know the secret, because how big can McKinney get? Is it going to grow up and become a really super big city?
Well, it's kind of, a lot of people come here for different things. We have a lot of festivals here, and so people will come just for the festivals. They'll also come and spend a weekend here. So it's kind of like a getaway for a lot of people, and they love it. We're 30 miles from Dallas, so if they have business in Dallas, it's real easy to come and spend a few extra days here in McKinney.
Yeah, no kidding. And what's the weather like? Is it, the weather can vary all over Texas. What's the weather like in the summer versus, the winter? What are the temperatures like for the most part?
Well, right now our average temperature would be around 60, 58 to 60, I think. And then in the summertime, we stay in the 90s a lot. Of course, we get a couple of 100-degree days, but not that many. And, everything is air-conditioned because we are in the South. And so you kind of go from one air-conditioned place to another, so it's really not hard on you at all. What's surprising, though, is that it's a little bit windy here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's probably maybe coming off the planes, right? Or no?
I don't know what it's coming off of, but when I moved here, I was surprised at how windy it was.
All right, I love it, though. McKinney, one of the 10 fastest-growing U.S. cities. A lot of people are drawn to the area, and I can see why if you have that feel where people, whether they're from the East or someplace else, can relate to something that they're seeing there, but yet it has the quaintness still, absolutely, of the small town. Now I'm desperate to go make a candy run, so Linda's sabotaging me, I have a feeling. Linda, thanks so much for popping on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Right, so McKinney was one of the best cities, and every month we're going to try to do a couple of those best cities and get you a feel for what it's like to be in those downtown areas. One of them is Raleigh, North Carolina. That's probably next on our docket, and there are a couple on the West Coast, too. You might feel like you have one of the best downtowns. In an effort to just rediscover the greatness of America, the land that we love, send me any info on that at americatonight.net. Because, you know, we're coming up on that festival season. Notice how she said we have all these great festivals. I was looking up some of the best festivals in the world, not just in the U.S. Do you know that there is a monkey buffet festival in Thailand? Yeah, no kidding. Over 600 monkeys, they invite 600 monkeys to feast on grilled sausage, fresh fruit, ice cream, and a whole bunch of other treats. The locals say it's a thank you to the monkeys, which are all over the village and bring in the tourists each year. When you go to Thailand, that's one of the unique things that you see, the monkeys literally swinging from the trees right before you. I've never been to Thailand, but I've heard that's one of the things that no matter what village you're in, you'll notice right away. Here's another one that I thought was strange, and we don't do this in the U.S., the Baby Jumping Festival. Can you imagine? Ooh. And what they do in Spain, it's in a city in Spain, you've got guys that basically, picture this, they dress up almost looking like, what's the word, kind of like clowns. And they line the babies up basically three or four in a row. And the idea is to jump over as many babies as you can. I wonder who gets to choose the babies. You know, in other words, you'd show up with your baby and just hope that these guys dressed up as clowns that leap over the rows of babies lying in the street don't do any damage. But this festival actually goes all the way back to 1620. Ooh! If you want to throw in your 2 cents, you have some suggestions for that segment, please do at americatonight.net.